Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Can you help me appreciate your pastor, the candle of this house, Pastor Adam McCain? Come on now. Where I'm from, we clap and stand for the man of God. So I want you to stand on your feet and help me appreciate Pastor Adam McCain. Come on. I thank you, sir. Thank you. I honor you today. I appreciate you. I cannot tell you how much it has meant to me over the years to have a man of God like him believe in what God has deposited on the inside of me and enabling me for so many years to come to Dallas and to minister at CFNI and to just release what God's put in us. And I believe that God's going to do something significant this morning. If you believe that, shout amen. And I want to jump right into the assignment that God has given us. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 9. We're going to read from the KJV and the NLT today. And as you're finding Mark chapter 9, I've been rescuing young people from the streets since 2002. And what I'm going to share today, I'm sharing from my heart because I know what it's like to hug crying mothers whose sons we had to bury. I know the pain of a father whose daughter didn't make it. But I also know what it's like to rejoice with a family whose son escaped death. And is now preaching in the kingdom, who's now a business owner, a father, a husband, a wife, a mother. And I have encouraging words for you today. I have good news for you today that he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Somebody give God a shout of praise if you believe that this morning. So if I'm a little passionate, you understand why. If I'm a little bit stirred, it's because I believe that God has marked someone today for freedom. That you've come here looking for hope, looking for answers. You found him in one person. His name is Jesus. And the title of this message today is Jesus the Deliverer. Somebody say that. Jesus the Deliverer. Mark 9, 21 through 27. I'm going to read it in KJV, then we'll go to NLT. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus, somebody say Jesus. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. In the NLT, verse 20, it says, so they brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw the child into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening? Jesus asked the boy's father. He replied, since he was a little boy, the spirit oft throws him into the fire or into the water trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can. What do you mean, if I can? Jesus asked. Anything is possible if a person believes. The father instantly cried out, I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak. He said, I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again. Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into another violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as people said, he's dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Somebody give praise to God for that. As I get into my text, I'm going to call a young man that came to us a couple of years ago. His name is Aubrey Merrow. I want him to come and share a little bit of his story. Put your hands together as he comes right now.
Good morning, everyone. I grew up in the foster care system, and I was in the system for 18 years. And during that time, I experienced abuse. But the worst abuse came when I was 3, and my babysitter boiled water and poured it on my hands. And on this hand, it would bleed, it would sting, a burning sensation, but I would just keep moving on. And because of my hands, I turned to drugs, became an alcoholic, and I ended up homeless, living in my car for 3 years. Until one day, I stopped into this homeless shelter, met this woman. She saw what God placed in me. She shared her testimony, and I said, God, if you could do it for her, you could also do it for me. She expressed to me about a program called Dream Life. So I went to this program, and I was in it for a month. And let me tell you, ever since stepping out in faith that day and going to that program, I am a free man, and it's only because of Jesus Christ. Only because of Jesus. And that's why in Psalms 144:1, it's written, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. See, these wounds here, I used to be so ashamed of them. I used to hate myself. But these wounds are weapons. These wounds are weapons. These wounds are weapons against the enemy. Because understand this, third-degree burns, my hands should be deformed. My hands should be deformed. When she poured that water on my hands, it just looked like this. This. But God said, I have a plan for you, son. I have a plan for you. I could bend my fingers. I could pick stuff up, play sports. Now I edit. I take photos. And it's all for him, all for his glory, all for Jesus. Thank you. This is my testimony. Thank you for listening. Remember, your testimony is powerful as well. We all have a testimony. We all have a testimony. God bless you.
Come on, praise God that that's your son. Come on, praise God like that's... Come on, you got a better praise of you than that. Come on, celebrate Jesus. I love the four Gospels of our New Testament, giving us the picture of what Jesus did when he came to the earth. And in Matthew's account, we find that the reason Matthew was written was so that the ministry of Jesus could be shown to those who specifically were Jewish people who needed to know that he was the long-awaited king and Messiah. The book of Luke, Luke providing a careful rendering of the events of Christ in chronological order. And John, the purpose of this gospel, as stated by John himself, is to show that Jesus of Nazareth was the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing in him, you might have eternal life. John proves that Jesus is God. But what I love about Mark for this particular moment and this time for this body of believers is that Mark 10 and 45 says we can easily determine Mark's objective and write in the account, for he says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. One of the ways Mark highlights the ministry of Jesus, Jesus being a servant to us, is by highlighting his supernatural power at work in the lives of hurting and broken people. Mark highlights the works more than the words of Jesus. Mark has four parables of Jesus, but Mark tells of 19 miracles of Jesus. As Aubrey just said, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, your testimony is proof that the word works. Come on, somebody. Your testimony is proof. As a community of believers, when we come together, we must make room for the worship of God, make room for the word of God, but also make room for the work of God. Whether it's in your family at home, or it's in your small group, or it's in a gathering like this, it is important that the work of God is released. The difference between us and any other deity or any other gathering of people who are worshiping a God that is not our own is that our God is alive. Now, I come from a talkback church, so it's okay to say amen in this house. I said, your God is alive. We do not serve God just because we've tested out different philosophies and thought this is the best one way to go. We serve God because he's manifested himself and shown himself real in our lives. And in this moment in Mark chapter 9, we have a family that is in desperate need of freedom. We find that there's a dad who sees unusual behavior in the life of his son. That normal discipline and parental correction is not fixing this situation. That this dad finds out that there's something strange happening with my son. In Mark chapter 9, 17 through 18, we find where the father says, teacher, I brought my son so that you can heal him. He's manifesting or he's displaying behavior that is not quite normal. And this enemy has him doing things that is not becoming of who he is or what he's been taught. And when Jesus speaks with this father, he says to the father, how long has this been going on with your son? And he says, since he was a child. Let me tell you, every mother and father that is in this room, that when the enemy sees the anointing, when the enemy sees that your son or daughter has God's hand on his life, he tries to start early. Bondage starts early. He tries to enter in. This is why it is important. And please hear my heart today, because my focus has been high school and college age youth. So I've rescued them from age 13 to 14 to about age 25. I've literally had to adopt kids because they had no parents or no one that could care for them. And it started early. Some kind of trauma or abuse enter in at an early age, and usually drugs is not the problem, it's a symptom of a deeper problem. It starts early. That's why, mothers and fathers, I encourage you, get some anointing oil and pray for your children. Pray for your house. Be careful who you allow to come into the life of your children. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. Monitor TikTok. If it was up to me, TikTok would not exist in our house. Monitor TikTok. Monitor Instagram. Don't just allow your children to have anything. Why? Because your children have been given to you by God for a godly purpose, and the enemy wants to charge, get inside of them early. He wants to attack them early. And this father begins to recognize that there's something strange happening, and it started as a child. And so he starts on this journey. I love this dad because this dad has determined in his life, I'm not going to sit back and let the enemy wreak havoc in my house. If the devil's going to fight for my house, I'm going to fight for my house. If the devil's going to fight for my children, then I'm going to fight for my children. So this dad goes and he's seeking ways to bring freedom and healing to his son. And he goes to men of God that should be able to help bring freedom. But when it was time for the working of the Holy Spirit in the heart of this child, they could not help him. And when you look at what Jesus speaks to them when they asked him, why couldn't we do this? And it's because he said this kind takes a level of fasting and prayer. And oftentimes the challenge with our modern church, the challenge with our modern people is we've learned how to be professional at church, but we've lost a place of consecration. We've learned how to have awesome gatherings. We've learned how to promote. We've learned how to organize. We've learned how to administrate. We've learned how to put all the right stuff together. But what we need to learn how to do is get back to the altar again. We need to learn how to lay on our face again. We need to learn how to turn the plate over and fast again. I know it's an old school message, but this generation needs to know what the power of God can do. And if you're going to administrate the power of God, God is wanting to move through consecrated vessels. It's not enough to have good music. It's not enough to have nice buildings. All of those are great, and those are tools that God has given us. But at the end of the day, when your house is undergoing an attack from the enemy, you need more than a chill bump. You need the power of God to be released in your life. So they couldn't do it. They couldn't administrate the power of God to bring freedom to this individual. And then Jesus begins to speak to this dad. And he said, if you could believe, all things are possible to those who believe. And he says, I believe, but. Anybody ever said, Lord, I believe, but? Okay, maybe most of you are Jesus' first cousin, but I've had struggles at times believing that God can do it for me. I've had moments where I've prayed and believed God for others, but couldn't do it for me. And this man said, Lord, I believe, but I'm having issues with my faith. And I love the transparency of this dad. Because this dad said, if I'm going to see my son free, I've got to get free. I can't just want my son to get right and I'm not honest about where I'm at. And I want to talk to some daddies in the room and talk to some mamas in the room that want to see your children healed and delivered. And God says, I'll do it for your children, but I want to do something for you too. I see that there are times when you're challenged in your faith. There are times that you're wondering if you're going to make it. But God says, if I can deliver your son, I can deliver the dad too. I can deliver the mom too. And this son, this is what I want to get to for a moment. The Bible describes what this son was dealing with was a spirit that would hinder him from hearing and speaking. He wouldn't hear, he won't talk, but he acts out. He won't listen, he won't talk about what he's going through, but he acts out. What's wrong? Nothing. You good? Yeah. Why are you acting like, leave me alone? But yet we're finding stuff on the internet that you wouldn't normally watch. We're finding you around friends that you wouldn't normally hang out with. You. And we know what those people do. So now we're seeing your behavior alter a little bit. Why are you acting like this? I mean, usually you come home from work and you're home around this time, but it's getting a little later. Your responses are different. Oh, we're finding bottles over here. We're finding. Why? What's that look in your eye? What's trying to talk, but you won't listen. Trying to get you to speak, but you won't open up. But we see your behavior is altering.
Come on, sir. This is good.
There are things that you're doing that's not normal for you. What's happened is God, the enemy has used trauma, pain, some kind of hurt to capitalize on that to get you to go down a dark path. You might be looking for the right stuff, but you're looking for it in the wrong places and in the wrong spaces. And you're finding yourself with a lifestyle that God never designed for you. This just happened to a pastor friend of mine. He ended up overdosing and dying, and they just buried him a few weeks ago. This man of God had already come through addiction and had a thriving ministry. Was doing powerful things for God. And something happened along the way. And now because he wouldn't speak, because he wouldn't listen, and all the signs of a different journey were showing, he didn't allow himself a moment of freedom. About last May or so, through a series of events, I started living in Hot Springs, Arkansas, and I came across a young man at a service. And much like today, such a great spirit in the room. People are encountering God, but I was drawn to this one young boy, this young man, and my heart was aching, and I could tell something was off. Something was not quite what it needed to be. And the altar call came and people were receiving of the Lord. And after the service, I'm at the product table and I'm selling different products and different things. And people were coming up and were greeting me. And there was a lady that was in the room that I thought could have been the mother of this boy. And I said, he was over in this corner. I said, is he your son? She said, no, that's my nephew. I said, I feel like the Lord has drawn me to him. I feel like he's struggling in some areas and he really needs freedom. In fact, what I really sense is that if he doesn't get out of the situation he's in, this thing is going to destroy him. And she just started to break. And she got a hold of the mom. The mom reached out. Then the dad reached out, said, you have no idea. What you're saying is true. My boy is in trouble. Come to find out, addiction, gang life, in the streets, doing some very dark things. And this is a good family. Mom and dad that loves God. Mom and dad that have done their due diligence to teach him and to train him in the right direction. I've come to let some mom and some dad know today, it's not your fault. The devil will want you to think you failed in some way. The devil will want to make you think that you messed up in some way. And yes, we can all look back at our lives and say, I could do this or do that. But mama, don't stop praying. Daddy, don't stop believing. This thing is not your fault. The devil sees the hand of God on your house, and he's doing everything he can to come against the plan of God for the life of your children. And this young man, the Lord began to move on my heart to reach out to him. Make a long story short, this young man was 16 years old at the time. He was in a very desperate situation. The Lord arranged it. He's from Conway, Arkansas. I'm in Hot Springs, Arkansas. He moved in with us, and God has radically transformed and changed his life. While I finish the rest of this message, I want Easton to come up here because I want somebody to see a testimony of what God is about to do in your life. I wasn't going to have you speak, but if you want to, you can. I know you don't like to talk in crowds, but I said I couldn't let this moment go because I'm so proud of Easton. Easton will text me scriptures and say, Pop, what does this mean? And I'll help him in the word of the Lord. Easton is going after Jesus. What the devil meant for evil, God has turned it for good. Come on, somebody give God praise this morning. He don't like to talk in front of people, but I'm telling you, that young man has had a real encounter with God. And the dad said that this thing that has attacked my son, it will cast him into the water. It will cast him into the fire. It's trying to destroy him, trying to drown him, trying to burn him, trying to destroy him. And the dad said, have compassion on us. Suicide is trying to destroy your house. But I feel the compassion of God in this room. Addiction is trying to kill your children, but I feel the compassion of God in this room. Alcohol is trying to destroy your spouse, but I feel the compassion of God in this room. Fentanyl, cocaine, weed is trying to destroy people you love, but I'm telling you, the compassion of God is in this room. Prescription pills is trying to destroy somebody's life. But I can't guarantee you today, his heart is for you in this room. So as his dad is crying out, Jesus manifests himself as the deliverer. And he speaks to what's ailing, what's tormenting this son, and commands this thing to break off of his life. Let me tell you, my friend, I am not at all against doctors or counselors. I actually appreciate the knowledge that they have because it helps us understand just how amazing the miracle of power of God can be. I'm grateful for every therapist. I'm grateful for every doctor. I'm grateful for every person that's got knowledge about what's going on in the mind and in the hearts of people when they find themselves like this. But let me tell you, there's still power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. I still believe that demons are cast out in the name of Jesus. I still believe chains break when you call on that name. I know that some people might not want to talk about it, and some people might think it's a little unnerving to say, but when you're tired of addiction, messing with your spouse, wrecking your house, you would say, I don't care what it takes, I just want my son free. I don't care what we have to do, I just want my son free. I just want my daughter free. I don't care how it happens, I don't care what God uses to make it happen, but I'm not going to sit here knowing that all power is in the hand of the one who bled and died for me. I want freedom in my house. I want freedom in my house. And Jesus begins to release freedom to this young man in this story. And while Jesus is releasing freedom, this thing begins to torment this boy a little bit more aggressively. How many of you ever prayed for something from the Lord and it seemed like before things got better, it got worse? That's just an indication that this thing is about to break. Oh, I feel like dancing in this house today. Because for some of you right now, you prayed for freedom, you prayed for a breakthrough, you prayed for deliverance, and it seems like the harder you pray, the worse things get. I've got good news for you. That's an indication that this thing is about to break. That's an indication that you're on the verge of the greatest breakthrough you've ever experienced in your life. That's an indication that the devil's days are numbered. You're about to experience freedom in the name of Jesus. Woo, thank you, Lord. And when the enemy leaves, what people said is it didn't work. That boy dead. He don't look changed. He don't look free. And sometimes in the process of freedom, people don't really believe that you're going to really be different. They don't see the fruit right away. Oh, no, he ain't changed yet. Oh, that thing looks helpless. That thing looks hopeless. And something was said, I can't remember the minister who said this, but it was a very powerful statement. I think it was Bill Johnson. He said this, anytime you see the body, anytime you see Jesus at work, that's an indication of what the body of Christ should look like. And so here it is. People thought this boy was dead. But this is what Jesus did. Jesus, put this mic here for a second. Took him by the hand. Get on the ground. Lay down on the ground. Jesus, he's laid out. He don't look like much. Don't look like stuff is happening. Don't look like he's going to amount to anything. Don't look like much has changed. But let me tell you what Jesus did. He didn't pay attention to what people's opinion were. He didn't pay attention to what they were saying. He didn't pay attention to what they were thinking. He heard the murmuring. He heard all the gossip. He heard all the stuff on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook and all the stuff that everybody said. But you know what Jesus did? Instead of doing all this, he stretched his hand out. Okay. He lifted him up. He got him on his feet. See, the problem with the church today is we want all of it to happen at the altar, but we don't want to build community with people and help people get on their feet. I know the power of God is at work in your life, but I'm a part of the body of Christ. And I'm going to help you stand in your freedom. I'm going to help you stand in your victory. I'm going to help you stand in your deliverance. I'm not going to sit there and look at you and call you dead and call you crazy. I am going to help you walk out faith, walk out purpose, walk out your destiny, and walk out your future. The devil is a liar. As long as I'm with you, you're going to walk in freedom. I'm not going to let drugs touch you again. I'm not going to let alcohol touch you. Instead, I'm going to have you stand on your feet. Feet and have you be a man of faith so that what God did for you, he could do through you for somebody else. He pulled him up. And I've got good news for you today. You're in a house today that if you said yes to freedom, that this house, this church, is Jesus' hands extended to you. Not only will we believe God to work a miracle in your life, but we'll help you walk that miracle out. Come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to be Jesus' hands extended to you. We're going to help you get on your feet. We're going to help you stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. We're going to walk with you until you're never entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why? Because that's what Jesus would do. And if Jesus would do it, we will do it too. Come on, somebody give God praise in this room. Y'all help me celebrate Easton. I'm so proud of him. I'm so proud of him. He's almost a year clean, a year going after God. Come on, somebody give God praise for Easton.